Welcome to Hanging on Every Word, accessible Bible study for the average Christian. This is the podcast for people who want to grow deeper in God's Word, develop confidence in their personal Bible study, and not do it alone. I'm your host, Whitney Aiken, an average Christian with a passion for helping others fall in love with Scripture. Today, we're going to savor the truth, uncover the beauty, and hang on every word of God. Welcome to episode one. I'm so grateful you've joined me in this space. This is the very first episode of what I hope will be a joint exploration through God's Word as we seek to study and love the Bible. So in this first episode, I want to introduce myself, share the inspiration behind this podcast, and then tell you what to expect from our time together. So first, a little about me. I guess I should start at the beginning. I'm a Christian, and I was saved when I was just 5 years old. I remember that I heard a song in church, and it was as if God pulled back the curtain on my little mind for just a moment. And I wanted to know who we were singing about because I didn't understand. So my parents explained this God we worship to me, and I just knew that I wanted to know him. And so we prayed together on my little pink floral bedspread, and that was my first encounter with God. I started personally seeking the Lord in high school and college, and in my adult life, I spent my early 20s in sort of like an apathetic state in my faith, pursuing God intently at times, and then in other seasons, feeling really distant and undisciplined. In my mid-20s, I struggled through a season of infertility that proved to be really transformative to my faith. Simply put, in that season, I was mad at God, and that anger and that questioning, it actually brought me closer to him. For nearly 3 years, I sat in this place, this uncomfortable place of accepting a God who is the problem solver and yet wasn't solving my problem. And I learned so much about the sovereignty of God, his goodness, and his character during that time. When I look back with the gift of hindsight, I know he was actually solving my problem. It just wasn't a problem I was aware of. I thought I needed a child. But he realized and knew that I needed him more than I needed anything else. And God graciously did give me what I asked of him, like Hannah in 1 Samuel, and blessed me with a daughter, and then two more children, another daughter and a son. And God has been kind and gracious to give me a testimony of his faithfulness and to keep me close to him from an early age. I used to think that this didn't make for a really exciting testimony. But the older I get, the more I realize, truthfully, every salvation story is a miracle. So I'm also a wife to my husband, Eli. We've been married for almost 16 years, and we work together in full-time ministry. We run a nonprofit outreach ministry called M25 Barbecue, where we serve meals to underserved communities. We pray over them and share the gospel with them and connect them to the local church. And our goal is really just to share the hope of Jesus because people need to remember that they aren't forgotten. I'm also a mom to those three amazing kids I told you about. They're now 10, 8, and 5, and I'm in my 6th year of homeschooling them because I'm crazy, and I spend a lot of my time during the week just hanging out with the kids. So this is a place of sanctification in my life, and it's where I'm always learning how to love deeper and be more patient and be slow to anger, and did I mention be more patient? And I'm also an author, so my debut book, Overlooked, Finding Your Worth When You Feel All Alone, released last year in April of 2023. And in it, I share about my own experience of feeling overlooked as an introvert and through seasons of suffering and as a person who's just struggled to feel seen and heard. In a world that's bent on being seen, Overlooked invites readers to learn about the God who sees and to discover how living in the light of this God and this gaze of this God can transform our lives. And in the book, I highlight 4 areas of transformation, including obedience, meekness, confidence, and a gospel perspective. For me, this book was such a labor of love. It took me a good 6 months to write the manuscripts and another year to iron out all the details of design and editing with my publisher, and then another year of launching and marketing. And so last year was really a whirlwind of just book launch and stewarding the message of the book. And I'm so grateful for Overlooked and for the women that it's allowed me to connect with. And, you know, if the themes of that book sound like something you'd be interested in too, you can find it anywhere books are sold online. And here's the last thing you should know about me, is that I love books. Ever since I was 10 years old reading Anne of Green Gables, I've romanticized the idea of reading a classic novel on a window seat somewhere. Like, it has to be a window seat with a bunch of pillows, a cozy blanket, and of course, you know, a candle flickering in the background. I've gone on countless adventures through books. There are some books I wish I could read again for the first time ever, just so I could feel the joy of unfolding the characters and the themes. I love books so much that I majored in English and creative writing in college, which challenged me to read more books than should probably be humanly possible in the span of a few short years. I always had a book with me in school. As a homeschool mom, one of my goals is to get my kids to love reading as well. I'm convinced that if they can find just one book that gives them that feeling of joy, that voracious appetite for more of that book that makes them want to stay up till 1 a.m. because they can't put it down, then they'll love reading forever. But as many books as I've read, from classic fiction as a teenager to an English major, always lugging around those three or four books in college, to a nonfiction lover as an adult, there's one book that stands alone. And I know on this podcast, you're not surprised to hear me say that that's God's Word. But I want to tell you why I love it. I love the literary themes and the intricate interwoven details. I love the language. I love the beauty and depth and style each writer shares. I love the exciting history of the Old Testament. I love the challenging words of the New Testament. But here's why this book is different than any book I've ever read. It's alive. Now, unlike much of what we hear today, this isn't hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. This is true. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that God's word is alive and active. In the context of this scripture verse, it's the power of the word of God to get to the very heart of man, even to the thoughts and intentions, sharp enough to reveal and divide the inner working of a man like a double-edged sword. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy that scripture is God-breathed, and this breath of God throughout scripture is a picture of the Holy Spirit. This inspired word of God through the active work of the Holy Spirit is brought to live in our own hearts and minds as we read. The Holy Spirit does, in a very real sense, breathe life into us through God's word. It's why we can read it over and over, and then suddenly a verse we've read like 100 times feels new and exciting. It doesn't lose its relevance, and it has this palpable power to transform. I have come to God's Word a lot of different ways. I've come in drudgery, opening its pages out of discipline more than passion. I've come to God's Word indifferent, skeptical, tired, confused, hopeful, discouraged, and time again, it has transformed me. It has left me raising my hands and whispering, "Oh, that's so good," while my kids look at me and wonder if I've lost my mind. It has been the landing place of slow, painful tears as I've struggled to see the words through my sorrow. It contains crinkled pages on the chapters like Psalm 40 that I've clung to on repeat. Just saying them incessantly in times of struggle, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit of destruction. And more than once, reading it has led me to close the pages, stand up from my chair, and lay myself prostrate before the Lord in worship. It's the book people have been willingly martyred for, the book people have memorized just to have it with them at all times. It's the book people still go to jail for having in other parts of the world. It's the only book that has inherent power. There is no other book like that. In a world inundated with information, we can feel overwhelmed with where to start, but actually it's really simple. This is it, the Bible. There is no other book, resource, social media influencer, devotion, pastor, or yes, even podcast that we should be starting with. God's word is something secure and unchanging. We don't have to question the source. We're not going to figure out that it's actually fake news. We won't be disappointed one day by its author. It's an unchanging foundation in a constantly changing world. But if we're honest, this isn't the place most of us start, is it? This isn't a statement of judgment. It's just a fact. The State of the Bible, which is a poll conducted in America, the one in 2023, showed that the average number of adults who read the Bible is down to 39% in 2023 from 50% in 2020. It's a difference of about 28 million readers. This 39% finding represents the lowest number of Bible readers since the State of the Bible began conducting surveys 13 years ago. And this number represents those who only pick up their Bible, get this, 3 or more times a year. Consistent Bible readers are much lower in number. In the same report, the top 4 challenges identified to reading the Bible consistently were, 1, and not surprisingly, not enough time. 2, readers didn't know where to start. 3, there was a lack of excitement about reading the Bible. And number four, they had difficulty relating to the language. I don't know about you, but I think that's some dismal results for the book that is the very Word of God. And as much as I value research, sometimes polls like this can kind of feel impersonal. But I've heard these sentiments reflected in friends and fellow church members in the women's Bible studies I've led the last few years. Women, they show up invested to learn more about the Bible. They're interested and hopeful and ready to understand and draw closer to God. That's the good news. But oftentimes I see that there's an obstacle in the way. There's intimidation, sometimes confusion. And I think one of the ladies in my Wednesday night Bible study summed it up best when she honestly shared one night a few years ago. She said, "I'm afraid to read my Bible because I think I'll read it wrong." And my heart just broke when she said that. But at the same time, I understood what she meant. How do we know we're getting it right? What if we read it wrong? I mean, is it better to not read it than to mess it up? That woman's statement has echoed in my mind, resonating deeply with me. And this podcast is an attempt to respond to that fear that isn't unique to one woman in my Wednesday night Bible study. Because I believe with all my heart that it's far better to open our Bibles than to leave them shut out of fear of getting it wrong. In fact, I think that's exactly what the enemy would love for every Christian to do. And from the polls, it seems like he's doing a pretty good job at it. So listen, I know the Bible is hard sometimes. It requires diligence and study. But I'm up for the challenge, and I suspect you're here because you are too. And while we'll try to do our best to get it right, I'll be the first one to tell you that I've gotten it wrong. I cringe sometimes to remember messages I've spoken in confidence, only to realize I'm miscommunicating the very best part. I've put up social media posts I might argue with now. I've written blog posts that could do with a few edits, I'm sure. And I've had passionate conversations with friends about things I'm not as convinced about anymore. There will be, guaranteed, episodes of this podcast that I'll look back on and think, I would do that differently now. And really, what a joy it is to think that. If I can look back and say, I would do that differently now, it means I've grown. I've learned. I'm not the same. I'm not stagnant. So we'll approach Bible study with a big dose of grace and humility. Not afraid to get it wrong, but always seeking to rightly handle the word of truth. I am not seminary trained. I am not a scholar. I'm just an average Christian seeking to know and love God's word more. And I'm here to learn together with you so that we don't have to do it alone. So if you find yourself here on this little podcast among a million other choices, I'm glad you hit play, because whether you're a seasoned Bible reader or you feel a lot like that woman in my Bible study, a little nervous to open up the Word, we're going to open the Bible together and read, learn, and grow, and maybe even change the course of those downward spiraling statistics, because it starts with one person at a time. So that brings me to what you can expect from our time together. Well, first, we're going to read the Bible. On this season, we'll go through a book of the Bible together, reading through a portion of the text in each episode. We'll talk through how to study well in the next episode, and we'll learn together how to implement tried and true Bible study techniques. We'll work together to understand the scripture in its context, genre, author, and audience. We'll let scripture help us understand scripture. We'll use outside sources when we need a little help, and we'll get better at seeing how every story of the Bible points us to Jesus. We'll approach the word humbly together in search of growing in awe and wonder of God. I'll keep each episode short in hopes that this will make it more accessible to you as you go about your day. Sometimes we'll dissect small pieces of scripture. Sometimes we'll do a big picture overview. Each week, I'll leave you to think on some important questions about the text. I hope you'll use this show as a supplement to your daily Bible study, but not as a replacement for it. I'll encourage you each episode to continue reading God's Word, even if you face those four obstacles we listed earlier in the episode. It is possible to become a daily Bible reader and a confident Bible reader. Ultimately, the goal of this show is simply to help us know God more, because in knowing Him more, in savoring in His Word, in having a moment where the beauty of it all moves us to tears, something happens in our hearts. It's sort of like reading that first book that catches your imagination and makes you fall in love with reading. Loving God's Word leads us to loving God, which leads us to true and lasting transformation. Thanks for tuning in to Hanging on Every Word. If you want to help more friends find this resource, be sure to follow the show and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, go read your Bible, friend.